You will notice there is no insert in your bulletin this morning, but for those that like the discussion questions, or if you use it during Sunday school time, there is a green sheet of paper, half sheet, on the table in the narthex. Well, the more we do something, the more we take it for granted. Even something like celebrating Christmas, the more we do it, the more we just take it for granted, and we kind of lose perspective of what it's really all about. Especially when it takes place in a society and culture like ours, which has pretty much hijacked Christmas and has made it about many things that really have nothing to do with Christmas at all. But there are many things that happen a lot more often than celebrating Christmas once a year. There's something that happens on an hourly basis in every country of the world. In fact, it happens about 250 times every minute. Any idea? It is the birth of a baby. The birth of a baby happens so often, and in a country like ours, the United States, with all its advancements in medicine, especially over the past century or so, it's something that's pretty much just taken for granted, including the health of the baby being born. And because it happens so often, and for the vast majority, it's often safe and healthy, we even lose the sense of just how miraculous the birth of a baby boy or a baby girl really is. And there's something that happens just as often as a baby boy or a baby girl being born, and that is the naming of the baby. Whether the parents are rich or poor, whether they're highly intelligent or more simplistic, Eastern or Western, black or white, or somewhere in between, there is one decision that must be made. In fact, in the Western world, it is illegal not to do so. It is what makes the baby's birth legal. The baby needs to have a name. And it's usually the first thing that we inquire about when we're asking somebody about having their baby. After we try to find out if it's a boy or a girl and the baby is healthy, what's the baby's name going to be? It outweighs virtually every other decision. It will mark a daughter or a son for life. For the rest of their days, they will react to that one word, or maybe two. And from one point of view, it seems rather trivial. I mean, after all, it's only a few letters. And yet, the big question is, what is the name? And for some parents, it is a very painstaking decision. They want to pick just the right name. Perhaps it has to do with what their hopes and dreams might be for the child when he or she grows up. For others, it might have to do with some important people in their lives, maybe parents or grandparents, or especially those that have gone on before us. Or maybe it has to do with a name that has been passed on in the family for generations, a junior or a third or a fourth. Or for some, they do it without really thinking. There's somebody in New York that named their child Santa Claus. Their last name was Claus, and so they decided it would be nice to name their son Santa. And the only reason I knew that is because all of us troopers knew there was, and we knew what the license plate was on his car. So sometime during Christmas Eve when we were working, we would all call in that registration and make the dispatcher give out that person's name. For some, it's actually a cartoon character or the name from a movie that they really liked. Without much thought what the name might be for the baby's future, they pick a name that sounds rather cute. A while back, a pastor friend of mine had a grandson who was about to name his first great-grandson a name that sounded very good as a young boy, but as an adult would give people preconceived ideas about what the nature might have been. And it wasn't so positive. And my pastor friend even agonized about it before finally telling his grandson, out of love for both him and the child to be born, what his concerns were. And I can tell you it didn't go over very well. But I can also tell you when the baby was born, he wasn't named Maverick. For us as humans, it might just be the most important and the most imponderable question when naming our children. Will the name suit the child when he or she grows up? And after all, we have absolutely no idea what the child is going to be like when he or she grows up. Well, naming the child born in the manger some 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem was pretty straightforward. This is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up from his dream, what the angel of the Lord had told him, he did exactly as was commanded of him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she gave birth to the firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Not only was Joseph commanded by God to take Mary as his wife, not only was he commanded by God to be the father of a baby son that which he had not conceived, he was also commanded by God to give him the name Jesus. Joseph was commanded by God to give up everything that a father in that day had the privilege and the responsibility of doing. It was all taken away from him by God. Joseph was even told by the angel why he should call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. From the very beginning of his life, even long beforehand, the child born in the manger had a divinely given destiny. And it was matched by his divinely given name, Jesus, the Lord saves. Most of us, or at least many of us, discover at some point in our lives why our parents gave us our name. And I say many or most because I have absolutely no idea why my parents gave me my name, Richard Allen. I assume because they liked the sound. I have no relatives that live before me that have either one of those names. The only time I heard Richard was when I was in trouble. And if it was Richard Allen, I was in big trouble. But you would think that at some point in his life, Jesus inquired of his parents why they named him Jesus, even though Jesus was a popular name in the day. But even if Jesus didn't inquire, fairly early on in his life, his mom and dad must have told him why they named him Jesus, especially with all the events that took place at his birth. The shepherds, the kings, all that which took place, they had to have wanted to tell them why they named him Jesus. And he needed to know that the choice was not their parents, but that God had chosen the name because he was God's chosen one. And God has planned his destiny for him. Call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And at what point Jesus came to know that, and when he was able to accept it as his own, is one of the great mysteries of our faith. But as he became older, he became increasingly aware of God's call on his life and the timetable. Even at the age of 12, when he stayed beyond in the temple and his parents had to scurry back and try to find him, his reply to them, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" And as his three-year ministry began around the age of 30, Jesus was quite aware, not only of his name, but that his time was near. In fact, even the hour was approaching. The hour when he would have to fulfill God's plan for his life, which was going to the cross and dying for the sins of all humanity. At the wedding feast in Cana, when his mother tells him to turn the water into wine, and at other points quoted in the scriptures, Jesus is quoted as saying, "Not yet. My time has not come." Because he knows that when it starts, when more and more people start knowing who he is, his time left here on earth is very limited. At what point Jesus knew that he was divinely chosen by God and what his purpose was for a specific task, for going to the cross to save his people from their sins, we don't know for sure. But we do know that by the time he began his ministry, which is what the vast majority of the four gospel accounts of Jesus' life are all about, he was sure that his name was Jesus, and why. While Jesus, like his father, went by many names, like Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, only one of them fit him perfectly: Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. We began our Advent and Christmas series this year, The Child in the Manger, The True Meaning of Christmas, back in the first week of December, talking about Joseph. The angel of the Lord had already told Mary what the baby's name was going to be, and then he told Joseph in a dream. Not only was Joseph told to take Mary as his wife and to adopt the baby boy that she was about to give birth to, though he had nothing to do with conceiving the child, he would also have to accept him by faith as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. As much as Mary is credited with great faith, God had also done something remarkable in the life of Joseph. In the midst of this very deep disturbance in his own life, to say the least, he trusted in God's word, and he committed himself to trusting that the little baby boy that was about to be born was actually the long-awaited promised Messiah. So when he named him Jesus, not only was he saying, "I am accepting you as my son during your life here on earth," but he was also saying, "I believe and am trusting that you are the Savior that God has promised us." It's very significant that Joseph named his son Jesus. And it's just as significant for every single one of us. Naming his son Jesus was the proof that Joseph believed and accepted Jesus as his only source of salvation. Believing in the name Jesus and accepting him as the only source of our salvation is the only thing that saves us from our sins. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Jesus' name fits him perfectly. During his ministry here on earth, Jesus saved people from the crippling effects of sin. And then on the cross, he dealt with sin itself once and for all. Its guilt and its shame, its dominion and its power. Jesus' name fit him perfectly. The converted slave trader, John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, knew it too. These are the words from another one of his hymns. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes its sorrows, heals the wounds, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled beast. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul and to the weary rest. Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield and hiding place, my never-failing treasury filled. With boundless stores of grace, Jesus, my shepherd, brother, friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept my praise I bring. The converted Christian persecutor Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, knew his name fit him perfectly too. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His name is Jesus, which means God saves, because he came to save his people from their sins. When someone bows down to his name, he or she not only acknowledges that he or she is their Savior, but also their Lord. John the Baptist knew his name. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So what name do you call him? And do you bow down to his name? And has your name changed? There was a time that many, and many still do it today, when a Christian becomes a Christian, he or she changed their name to signify that he or she had been reborn and had taken a new identity as a Christian. Hence, Saul became the Apostle Paul. Simon became Peter. Roman Catholics take on a new middle name at their confirmation, which is the point in their lives where they acknowledge that they have accepted Jesus Christ on their own as both their Savior and Lord, and they take on a new middle name to acknowledge that something has changed within them. But many, maybe, our name doesn't really need to change. Because the bottom line is, no matter what name our parents choose to call us when we were first born, it really means absolutely nothing apart from our life here on earth. Maybe the name used for the primary character of John Bunyan's Christian classic, Pilgrim's Progress, should be the name of all of us followers of Jesus, that name being simply Christian. Christian is the name which is supposed to set us apart from the rest of the world. Leo the Great, who was a Catholic pope who lived around 450 AD, who's actually best known for helping to formulate the Christian doctrine of Jesus' incarnation, God with us, that which we celebrate on Christmas, addressed followers of Jesus in his writings, not by their name given at birth, but by the name Christian. This was one from one of his Christmas sermons. Christian, remember your dignity. Dearly beloved, today our Savior is born. Let us rejoice. Let us throw off our old nature and all its ways, and as we come to the birth in Christ, let us renounce the works of the flesh. Christian, remember your dignity. And now that you share in God's own nature, Do not return by sin to your former base condition. Bear in mind who is your head and of whose body you are a member. Do not forget that you have been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the light of God's kingdom. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. While God's Son has many names, it's the name Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, which holds priority in our lives as Christians. It is the name that the angel of the Lord told both Mary and Joseph to name him, and why. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you today as we celebrate the beginning of the biggest event in the life of the world, the sending of your Son, the promised Emmanuel, God with us, for the main purpose of saving us from our sins, which comes only by faith. Faith in his name, and faith that he is who he says he is. Lord, as we begin this new year, help us to remember the divine calling that you have placed on each of our lives, that we are called your children by faith, to put our faith in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray.
You have come to save us. You have come to save us.